Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to a best of Grill Nation.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hooter!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show here on KMBZ 980 AM. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining me again this week on the radio and on iTunes. Via podcast as well as at grillnationshow.com. I appreciate you coming with us again for today's show. We've done about 160 of these shows now, and I think today is going to be a lot of fun. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. The title sponsors of the show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Companies, and Ryan Rink. Guest hosts and contributors to the Grill Nation Show include the Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co., Ryan Mabee, One Light Luxury Apartments, and as always, we look for more and more people to jump on board of the show. We will have on KCADC is going to be joining as a quarterly guest, Tim Cowden in the group over there. Exciting things going on there as well. So they'll be coming on here in the next few months. You can connect with me on social media at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show on Twitter, also available on Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. Thanks again for joining us again today on 980 AM. So for today's show, we're going to have on a friend of mine who I've known for a handful of years, I guess, probably at least 10, maybe 15, I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun, right? And we met many years ago when I was a state legislator in Missouri. He is a entrepreneur, business owner, and owner of the Westport Flea Market. Joe Zwillenberg is with us in studio, also a very strong Mizzou alumnus and supporter. Welcome to the show.
Well, as the 161st guest of the Grill Nation show, I don't know where to put that on my radar, but that's pretty exciting. Thanks
yes,
for having me.
Yes, it's great to have you. So, Joe, first off, I want to start kind of and take you way back here to your background. Tell us about growing up and how that went. You grew up in Kansas City or no?
Born and raised in Kansas City. Grew up in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath on Gregory and Warnell, Dartmouth Road, and we never had a lot, but we had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Cousins lived across the street. I've always had a knack for working and trying to make some bucks. And so my first job was at the Baskin Robbins at 63rd and Brookside, $2 an hour.
Okay.
And I got hired as a 13-year-old scooper. And it was pretty cool. Not to mention the fact that at that time, in college you give away beer, but when you're 13 you give away ice cream. So my family's was pretty excited, and it was pretty neat. It gave me a strong foundation. I remember getting my first paycheck. It was like $62, and I cashed it at the dime store, and I went the dime store had like all the pennies or all the candy you could eat for like 30 cents would buy you a ton. So I just felt like a millionaire. I remember I still have the paycheck from my first stub, and
so do I, which is weird. I actually worked in your industry for a while, restaurant.
Yeah.
I was a busboy at a place called Rembrandt's up north.
Sure.
It was kind of like a fine dining establishment at the time, and you could do weddings there, and you'd pay you $10 an hour.
Oh my God.
And you wear a bow tie and a tux, and that was the first gig. I thought it taught me a lot about customer service and people, and I think that's probably the same for you at Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it taught me a lot about, like, cleaning up, like, procedures, handling cash, customer service. We got sent to it was hilarious. They sent us actually to that, it's not a Holiday Inn anymore, right down the street, but it's, like, for sale property now, and we had a we had a seminar where we tried to come up with an idea to sell more ice cream. And so I was big in acronyms then. So I came up with SMASH.
Okay.
Sell more and sell high, which means selling double scoops. And Baskin Robbins actually rolled it out nationwide.
Really?
Yeah. I got a $25 gift certificate to like Brookside Toy or something. You know, I mean, I'm like, yeah, it's a national campaign. And that's what I get. But it was really cool.
13 years old.
Yeah. No, I was 13 and it was a big deal. And it was just a really cool thing to work in Brookside and have that neighborhood and to get money, which was a huge deal. And, when I went to high school, I went to Pembroke Hill, in Kansas City.
Well, we'll hold that against you, Joe.
Yeah, because, you know,
as a pious guy, we, used to have some fun times playing football against you guys, and the Rush Brothers came along and kept us from state in basketball many years.
Nothing's greater than a Raider, you know? Actually, I heard we're not playing pious anymore in football. I think they're finally scared of us.
Oh, wow.
No, they joined a different league, so.
That was fun though. That was a good rivalry then.
It was, you know, when I was in school, so I was
in
charge.
And you gotta love all those Italians up north, right?
So we had a lot of fun. Okay. So I was in charge of the pep club, another way to make money. Okay. And we charged everybody $10 to join. And basically it was, you know, to have parties. But so when we played Pius, I had some friends up at Pius and, you know, Mario Brothers was big. And I said, you know, we should dress up as Mario Brothers, right? For the basketball game, and we did, and like the school went nuts. They were pissed.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They're like, you can't do that. That's wrong. And I'm like, no, they're all Italian. They're friends of mine. Cause I knew all these pious guys and I didn't even think of it as a derogatory thing.
Sure. Right.
And so then the follow up game at Pembroke, they all came in country club outfits, tennis rackets. And
I liked the rivalry.
It was awesome. Yeah. And so it still happens today when we play. When we play Pius, the Pius kids come in dressed up real preppy, and the Pembroke guys, you know, dress up in wife beaters or like carrying pizzas. And but I mean, that's the kind of stuff that where political correctness has gone wrong. I mean, people nowadays would like go nuts. It's good, harmless fun, and it's okay to have some fun with a rival.
Yeah,
it's okay to do that kind of stuff. And we did that, and I worked all throughout high school. I was a hoochie. I told them I was old enough to sell beer and I wasn't. A singing waiter at the Waldo Astoria, which is where Kennedy's used to be.
Yeah.
Where now 75th Street Brewery is. I did that and I had a really, really fun high school career. And then I went to Mizzou. You know, I joined a fraternity down there and went to hotel and business school and hotel and restaurant school. And,
you kind of had this in your blood for a long time.
Yeah, you know
what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, I don't know. There's certain people that are meant to do certain things, doctors, lawyers, that kind of stuff. I've always been really good at the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. I can walk into a restaurant. I can kind of see what's going on, without seeing what's going on.
Right.
I have this kind of, I wouldn't say sixth sense, but it is. And it's done me a great service in my career.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at Mizzou, I didn't want to, at Harpo's, you had to work 2 years to be a doorman to be a bartender. And I didn't want to do that because I kind of like writing my own script. And so I didn't want to be a doorman. I wasn't big enough to be a doorman. And so I went to the owner, a guy named Randy Harper, and I said, listen, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to be just a bartender. And Friday nights wasn't a big deal at Harpo's. You know, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday was the big deals. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will pack this place on a Friday night. And he was like, you know, you got to do the doorman. Yeah, we don't need this, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I'll pack the place on a Friday night if you promise to make me a bartender without being a doorman. And so I went around campus. And, you know, back in those days, the way you did social media was you had a staple gun and you had leaflets and you put them up on the poles.
Yeah.
So I put on all the poles, the sororities, free beer, 5 o'clock Harpo's, and it just said for Joe's party. And so I told the owner, Randy, I said, listen, I got to buy a keg. I'll pay cost for a keg of Natural Light, which is like $42, right? Back then. I said, and I'll get this going. And so anyway, of course, Friday shows up, the place is packed, and he goes, what's going on here? I said, you hired a great bartender.
There you go.
That was it.
That's the entrepreneurial Mizzou story. I love it. Joe Zwillenberg is with us, Westport Flea Market. We'll be right back after the break.
Carrot.
listening to a best of Grill Nation.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks again for joining us on KMBZ 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We're talking to Mike Shannon, who's the host of Ruckus on KCPT and a longtime radio and TV broadcaster here in the Kansas City area. Mike, you were telling us about Vietnam and coming back, and you made a home for yourself here in Kansas City. Tell us kind of about that transgression and how you ended up getting back involved in broadcasting.
All right. I spent maybe 8 or 9 months at the Army Hometown News Center in Kansas City, and I met my future wife at that location. She was a civilian employee of the Army, and we met there. And so when I finished my time in the Army, during the last few months of my time at the Army News Center, I had a weekend job at one of the local radio stations, and then I was hired full-time after I left the Army in March of 1970 and spent a year or two at that job before I went back to St. Joseph. My father had improved, and his condition had worsened. I went back there until his passing and worked in broadcasting there for a while, and then came back to Kansas City in late 1972.
Mm-hmm. And you settled in KCK, is that right? Or
well, not a. I came to work for a radio.
I always think of Mike as a KCK guy, but he's not.
I went to work in late 1972 as a news reporter for a radio station that was located in and licensed to Kansas City, Kansas. Hmm. And the news department there was focused on a lot of KCK news. And I lived in Shawnee for the first part of my experience there. And over the time that I spent in news in Kansas City, Kansas at this radio station, I got real involved and interested in what was going on locally. And I thought KCK got rather a bad break from the local media. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the people in government there used to complain about all the news reporters who would do critical stories about the city, but lived elsewhere, mm-hmm. lived in Johnson County or in Kansas City, Missouri.
Kind of have that problem still today with a lot of people in KCMO that are living in Parksville or Jocko.
After I got married, my wife and I decided to move to Kansas City, Kansas, and we had an apartment there for a while and then bought a home, mm-hmm. and have been there for
ever since
several decades, I think.
Yeah. So how'd you get involved in the political current events side of broadcasting? Because you mentioned you were a disc jockey, you did the cartoon thing when you were in high school. How'd you break into the current events political?
In college, I got quite interested in politics. Mm-hmm. And when I was at Northwest Missouri State, I took a lot of courses in political science. And most of the professors were liberal. And the 1964 Barry Goldwater campaign had energized me and my interest in mm-hmm. conservatism. So I would spend much time in class debating with the professors. And it was as a result of that that I got so interested in politics. And then doing news, of course, that's mm-hmm. a related area. Mm-hmm. And so my interest in politics grew as I worked as a news reporter and later as the news director of a couple of stations here.
You did that, okay. So tell us about that. What was the difference between a news reporter and a news director?
Well, the news director is like a management official who's in mm-hmm. charge of the department, who hires and fires the reporters and either assigns them or has someone who does assign them on behalf of what the news director asks them to do. The news director is responsible for the sound of the news and the content of the news. And, you know, one of the things I found, you have to be very careful about some reporters who will have a political point of view and try to incorporate it into the news story. And believe it or not, I worked hard at avoiding that for myself and for people who worked under my jurisdiction, because a newscast on radio, at least at that time, was not a place for the reporter's political views.
Did that exist back then heavily, like it does today?
Not nearly as much then as it does now.
I mean, you have that whole line of is somebody a journalist or an entertainment show.
Difficult
you know,
to know.
You see that on the nightly shows on CNN, Fox News, whatever, MSNBC.
We watch cable. It's like two different worlds. In fact, we did a segment on Ruckus one week that, you know, if you watched MSNBC regularly or watch Fox News regularly, you'd have two diverse points of view about what's going on in Washington and in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing.
I flip back and forth sometimes to see that, you know, CNN's talking about something with the Russian investigation. Then I turn on Fox News and they're talking about people jumping across the border. I mean, it's completely different.
I mean, there was a time when an anchor was thought to be absolutely bipartisan in terms of approach. Mm-hmm. Walter Cronkite was a great liberal, as he revealed when he got out of journalism on television and left CBS, but he wrote a column where he acknowledged his views were liberal, but he tried very hard, as far as I know, to keep political partisan views out of the newscast and out of news at CBS during his tenure there.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we'll ever see that come back on a big scale, or if it's now we're just the biscuits are cooked, that it's a partisan world and, you know, we're never going to get back to those journalists.
Yeah, I don't see it happening anytime soon, mm-hmm. Jason. As much as I think it might be valuable, you know, it used to be you could go to a couple of major newspapers in this country and say, okay, here are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide, I don't like that approach, or I disagree with the Democratic guy or the Republican guy. Now, even those papers, their front pages are partisan, and you don't know what to believe. You don't know what the facts are.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your news director career, news reporting career. You also had a radio show for quite a while here on Intercom Station.
Yes.
Right? And yep. You were on Drive Time, is that right?
I was on, I've done other talk shows in the past on other stations. You may know the name Jerry Fogel.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Fogel and I did a long-running morning news and talk show in Kansas City. And then at Intercom on KMBZ, AM first and then both, which is now just FM,
right.
Scott Parks and I did the afternoon program. I had been here, and Scott was here as a news director, and I'd been here as a business news reporter initially.
Okay.
And did the morning business news on KMBZ and then a Sunday morning news talk and interview kind of program. And then I think it was in late 2006, there was a decision made for Scott and me to pair and do the afternoon show.
Okay.
And we did that for a period of 5 years.
And that was
and he's still there.
That's more of a current event.
It was
political
was news
show.
Talk. Yeah, a lot of politics.
Which is interesting because you and Scott both are conservative people.
Well, we are, but he was less conservative than I. But the idea, because I'm quite a bit older than Scott, and one of the early ideas was, here are a couple of guys who come from different generations. Mm-hmm. How do they view these things? You know, mm-hmm. What does Mike's generation think compared to what Scott's thinks, and that mm-hmm. type of thing?
So that's the thing with radio shows. You keep trying to reinvent yourself a little bit and see what works. Mm-hmm. Stations do that a lot, right?
Right.
Yep. They change from stations change from business show station to sports station to a... but some of them in Kansas City have stuck around for a while, but now it seems to be moving more towards that entertainment slant, which is why it's great that you continue to focus on current events and news here in Kansas City on Ruckus.
Well, Ruckus does offer that, and Kansas City Week in Review, which is another news-oriented program there. And, there was a time, I can recall, when I was active in broadcasting daily, that I'd get invited to weekend shows on the TV stations, the mm-hmm. commercial stations. I think each of them did a weekend news and review kind of show or a program talking about top stories of the week. And I'd stay pretty busy doing that as well as Ruckus once that began. But now I don't think any of the local television stations do much local coverage on the weekends of news stories, news opinion. They have newscasts,
There's not anymore. And for many years, I thought about, wouldn't it be cool if we get a show on a network, but a morning show like on the weekends, like they have, you know, in DC, and you kind of like your show, but it just doesn't exist. It just does not exist. There's really nobody covering. Well, maybe more so now with all the scandals that have been going on in Jeff City and in Topeka. But for a long time, I mean, I'd be down in Jeff City and nobody would know anything going on. And the Star wouldn't cover it, what was going on in local or state politics, at least. Probably more local was covered. But the state just seemed to be on its own island in Jeff City.
Back when I was a news director of a couple of radio stations in Kansas City and first got involved, almost all of the radio stations in Kansas City had a news department mm-hmm. of sometimes three. Four or five, you know, some of them were larger, but they all made an attempt at local news. That's not the case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only, I think, KMBZ, perhaps only
Bill
KMBZ,
Grady, they got some reporters to go out there.
Serious news reporting. Many of the other radio stations have abandoned it entirely.
Mm-hmm. Mike Shannon is our guest today on Grill Nation. Mike, before we go into the break here, Kind of tell us about Ruckus and that journey, because you did that at the same time you were on the radio.
Yeah, that began in 1995. And
what was the idea behind that, and how did that come about?
A guy by the name of Bill Reed came to Kansas City to be the CEO or general manager of Channel 19. And I interviewed him on a talk show. And among the things he was talking about was his desire to enhance and do more local programming. And he had two ideas in mind. He wanted to do a local parallel of Washington Week in Review on PBS, hence Kansas City Week in Review, and wanted to do a local version of the McLaughlin Group, which you may remember was a long-running program on PBS up until the time John McLaughlin died, and nobody took it over after that. And so Week in Review was first in 92, I believe, and I was a weekly panelist on that for 3 or 4 years. And in 95, we kicked off Ruckus.
Who was the host of that show back then?
John Masterman.
Okay.
Who had been with NBC in New York and then came to Kansas City, went, I think, to Channel 4 originally, and things didn't work out, so we ended up at KCPT.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about Ruckus. I want to talk about the evolution of the show and how you've changed things and what its goals are. And then I want to get into some stories. Mike, you've had a chance to go to the White House many times and also have met some influential politicians and Kansas City figureheads over the years. I'd like to get some background information on that and learn more, and then also kind of learn more about some of your favorite parts of Kansas City after the break. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show. I appreciate you joining us today on KMBZ 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We'll be right back. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
Listening to a best of Grill Nation.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill, 980 AM, and also on iTunes and podcasts if you're listening via the podcast way, or at grillnationshow.com. I'm talking to Jeff Hutzel, who is with Vistage International, the world's leading chief executive organization. He's a mentor and coach for fellow CEOs, presidents, and business owners who want to outperform their competition. Their goal is simple, is to create a group of individuals committed to creating extraordinary results for themselves and one another. He's also the author of a new book, I Really Meant to Tell You, Finding the Courage for Kindness. And he's here with us today on the Grill Nation Show. You can find his book on Amazon.com. Jeff, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Great, Jason. How are you?
It's great to have you, man. I'm glad we connected. I know we probably have hundreds of mutual friends here. But man, tell me about this book now. I want to read just a little passage from the overview here, if you don't mind. Have you ever regretted not telling someone you love them? Have you ever lost a friendship over something that could have been fixed by the right words? Has your best employee walked out the door without you ever telling them how much they meant to you? Do you still recall that wonderful thing someone said to you so many years ago? If so, then you know that words matters. That's kind of the general gist of this book. I mean, tell us about this. Like, why write a book, and how the heck did this all happen? And it's just such a good topic, I feel like, too. We don't hear about these kinds of things.
No, and the funny thing is that everybody that knows me, when they say what kind, given the conversation we just had, right, for them to say, wait, what? Your book's about, I really meant to tell you, lovey-dovey kind of, what? Yeah. You're this business dude.
You always have that thought, right, though? Everyone has this thought.
Like, everybody has that thought.
Should I say something? Should I do something? Should I hold back? You know, you're always, sometimes it makes a lot of sense. The opposite of what you're saying in this book is like, hey, just don't do something. Like in life, like don't do, like if someone says to you, hey, a reporter calls and says, hey, I want you to talk about a former political opponent of yours or do this or that. Sometimes it's best to say, no, thank you.
Yep.
Right? It's good to pass on meetings sometimes.
Yep.
Sometimes it's good to tell people how you really feel.
Well, I think where I put a slightly different spin on it, it came from the fact that I do one-to-one confidential meetings with all of my CEOs, and I can't tell you the number of times I hear about lost spouses, lost employees, lost this. And let's take the lost employees, for example. That's what the book was going to be about. It's tell them they matter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would say, think about this. So, yeah, I'm kind of bummed today. What happened? Well, Jim left. And I go, wait, what? Jim? the guy that you have been bringing up for 10 years, who's going to take over your company, mm-hmm. who was going to do this, is going, yeah, but I can't really begrudge him. He got a really great offer and it's a good company. And, you know, I kind of wish him well. And I just call bullshit. I'm like, that is exactly what you're trying to avoid in saying, oh, yeah. You had to be shocked when this happened. You didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And I said, I wonder if I had him sitting in front of me here today, would he know how much he meant to you? Well, I paid him the most. Then that wasn't my question.
Mm-hmm.
He has the biggest office. You know, he's got the car allowance. I let him in on my country club, you know, whatever all that stuff is. I'm mm-hmm. saying, but does he really know?
Have you ever said it to him?
Yeah. Have you ever said, half the reason I come into work every day is I want to see your mug and I like talking with you and bouncing stuff off you because you are actually smarter than me. You may work from me. I learn from you every day.
Mm-hmm.
If those words were said, would maybe that have made a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of say, well, I really meant to tell you something like that. So mm-hmm. I took that to my family. My daughter, Jennifer, is my real counselor on stuff like this. And she says, that's not just business, Dad. You're being a business dude again. Mm-hmm. That's everybody. And then, you know, cause she's the millennial
sure.
you know, school teacher or mother. And she's like, no, just, so we expanded it out to that.
And so it covers life, professional and family and love and work.
Right. Which by the way, mirrors my job. Everybody has an image of what I've just said about what these CEOs talk about in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, CEOs walk in the room and human beings show up.
That's great.
We are talking about stuff that have nothing to do with business, but everything to do with the person. Mm-hmm. If we all have to be leaders, right? Where's the one place? Do you have people you can talk to about this kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest complaints in business, there's like two or three themes that run through here. You hear it all the time. Nobody communicates with me. Our company communicates terrible. Every score comes in, more communication, more communication.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaders all kind of say, well, darn it, we'll just communicate more in different ways. More media, more this, more that, intranet, intranet. And I believe this is 40 years of business. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying I'm holding it as a true belief for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two forms of communication any human being ever wants from another human being. One, how am I doing with you? And what's that mean for me?
Okay.
And on first blush, that sounds selfish and rude. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's like, no, if it's a child with a parent, you know, right now they're looking at you for, dad, watch me. It's like, mm-hmm. I want him to recognize me.
Mm-hmm.
And if dad doesn't recognize me, the kid is wondering, like, if I don't know how I'm doing with you right now in this interview,
yeah.
If you were looking out the window,
I'm looking all over the place. I haven't looked into your eyes, white of the eyes for a long time right. here, Jeff. No, I'm kidding.
But if
yeah,
you see
that moment, yeah.
If you see that happening, then you're starting to wonder, how am I doing here? And what's that mean for me? If I'm in an interview, does it mean I'm going to get the job? If I'm having a performance review, does it mean I'm going to get a raise? If I've been called into the boss's office, if I'm having that date where she says it's not you, it's me. You know, when mm-hmm. when those are going on, you're thinking all the time, I don't know where I stand right now.
Right.
Or it ain't good, and something's going to happen to me.
Well, we've had those conversations.
Yeah.
That's
everybody and everything. Yeah. And it's like,
when you said, I don't know where I stand, we've all heard that many times.
Yeah. And the feeling that
I feel like it happens more, maybe not, maybe you'll totally discredit, but in relationships, this happens more than in the workplace. Maybe I'm crazy. Like nobody at work, you know, you just want to make sure everything's smooth. At least I did. You don't want any controversies. You want to make sure everything moves smoothly. Whereas in a relationship, sometimes there's more conversations about what's going on. What are we doing?
Right. But I'll label that politics, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Use your terms.
Yep. Yep.
Not only real politics, but in business politics.
Mm-hmm.
What do people want to know?
Yeah.
Where do I stand with you and what's that mean? If you're whipping votes,
yeah.
Where do I stand right now with you and where am I going?
And they usually can lie to your face.
Right. Can you get to the truth? Can you tell them how you feel? That sort of thing.
So you wrote the book. You did it.
And it happened because, I'm going to say this, because of my Vistage colleagues. I make them make 5 commitments every year. I'm going to do something. I don't care what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not goals. It's not like we're going to make a sales forecast or we're going to do this. It's like, I'm finally going to, you know, work out 3 days a week with a real trainer,
mm-hmm.
something that they can really say they did.
Sure.
I had written a book on mine. And one of my members, his name was Chad Zimmerman, and we were sitting down in the Ozarks at a retreat, and we were kind of going over, because I participate as well. And he says, so this book thing, Hutzel, I've been here 3 years. It's still on here. What's up with that? Mm-hmm. You know, why aren't you getting the book done? Mm-hmm. And then I would launch into all the reasons, you know, logical reasons.
It's a hard thing to do.
It's all just
writing a book is not easy.
It's starting.
Yeah.
You know, what? How's it different than anything else?
It's so, time. It's a time commitment, just right. like anything else.
Well, you'll love this answer because my best excuse was, well, I'm learning so much every single day. I'm going to wait until I've got enough information that I could put in a book. You know, and you know what he said that just stopped that conversation? Then just write your first book.
That's
damn it. Because I thought if you got to do one opus, you know, you can wait forever to do that.
Oh, right. It's never
it's
perfect.
Like, just do your first one.
Just do it. And just so get something. Like,
oh, okay. So there we go. Now it's on the list and everybody's saying, how's it going? How's it going? And I actually made last October, I went to the group and said, okay, I do. So there's 65 CEOs that each get an hour and a half, one-to-one session a week in Kansas City. Imagine 30-minute drive time. That's a lot of hours, right? Mm-hmm. And then all-day meetings for four groups. That's a lot of hours. There aren't many hours in the day to do this. And I said, if you guys will give me October, I'll give you a book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really sticking your neck out because mm-hmm. I had never come close to writing a book. Like a 15-page term paper the night before is probably the best I'd ever done.
Yeah, right.
So they said, absolutely. Because to them, truly, they're giving up an hour and a half. You know, I'm giving up 65 meetings of 2 hours duration. I'm like, this is, I ought to be able to get this done.
Mm-hmm. So you completed it.
They gave it to me, and that made me feel very accountable, didn't it? Mm-hmm. I can't go back in November and say, well, never really got started.
Yeah, right. You got it started. The book is called, I Really Meant to Tell You, Finding the Courage for Kindness. Check it out on Amazon. You got a lot of positive reviews on there. We got about a minute and a half left in this segment, Jeff. Kind of break down again kind of the key tenets of this book that people should, if people are listening, that they take away from it.
I think the key tenets is it's surprising to me how worried, frightened, concerned we are about having a conversation about how much you really mean to me. Because we've been taught that every conversation needs to be balanced. You're the best employee I ever met, but, and then we go on to the review that say how you need to improve. Mm-hmm. Or I'm afraid if I tell my employee how awesome they are, they're going to just ask me for a raise, or the cynicism side. Or I'm going to say it wrong and it's going to be rejected. And all I say is this, do you think that when you go to hug a puppy or a little baby? Why can we do that then? I'm only asking you to say what's awesome. If you don't have anything, if I don't like you that much, that's okay because those two relationships really don't matter. If it really matters, don't be balanced and don't worry. It's not about you. It's about them. Say what you believe they need to hear from you mm-hmm. to help them. If your motive's right, it'll be received right. And if it isn't, you're off the hook. You did what you needed to do.
You said what you had to say. It's off your chest.
You're done.
Interesting. I like that. I'm going to have to tell you, you've given me the book.
Yep.
I've read some of it. I've got to complete it, though. Now, am I ever going to be able to listen to this in my headsets, or is it just hard copies?
We are going to be able to do an audiobook.
Okay, good.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But I'll listen to it while I'm running. There you go.
But it'll motivate me. The only thing I want everybody to do, if you read the book or any part of the book, your commitment to me is you will go tell somebody one thing.
There you go.
One person, one message.
Jeff Hutzel is with us. After the break, we're going to finish the show with some good entrepreneurial and business advice. I want to make sure we get that for our listeners, too, today. I hope you've been enjoying the Grill Nation show. Thanks for joining us today on 980 AM. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show, 980 AM. I'm your host, Jason Grill, and joined by guest host and on-air supporter of the show, Brian Saar from True Wealth & Company. Website is retirewithtrue.com, great local company here in Kansas City. Brian, what is your slogan? You want people to retire? You always tell me this each and every show, I forget it. But
we want to help successful people make work optional.
There you go. Make successful people. I love it, man. You are just
because it's not. You know, nobody wants to retire because we all view retirement as sitting around the house doing nothing. And you want to stay active. You want to stay involved. You want to give time and give back. And you know, I even have clients that now they want to start businesses with their grandkids. And they're going to use their wisdom and in life and that and help their grandkids learn learn the world of business or to volunteer with their grandkids and to stay busy. So many times we hear, you know, people will tell me, I don't know how I ever had time to work. My calendar is full. And it's not of just entertaining things. It's they have these responsibilities, whether it's with their grandkids, whether it's with their activities, their hobbies, their travel, you know, their volunteer through their faith and that. They want to stay active. They want to stay busy. And so we call it a work optional lifestyle.
Make work optional.
You have enough money to make work optional. And some people choose that their work is now their hobby and their faith and they're volunteering and giving back. And you stay busy forever.
Love it.
Because they tell me that retirement, the word retirement is not in the Bible. You got to keep moving.
Well said. Well said.
Lamar Hunt Jr. is with us. KC Mavs, Loretta Sports Properties. Welcome back to the show, Lamar. It's been a great hour so far. Brian, do you want to lead us off here? You got any follow-ups for our last segment today?
I just wanted to talk. So the Loretto companies that you
Loretto,
have.
Yeah.
Loretto.
Sorry, yeah, it's okay.
No, the Loretto companies that you have. You have three or four different parts of the Loretto companies. Can you kind of talk through those four and what their vision is for Kansas City?
Well, there's the residential. We just have rental homes.
Sure.
And manage those. And it's been a really bountiful market to do that. We have some commercial properties that we've developed, and we've brought a couple across the finish line. And those, as we talked about maybe earlier, take a lot of patience and perseverance.
Yes, they do.
I do have a son-in-law. I'll mention him, James Arkell, who, you know, works very hard on our behalf to do that and really is good at forming relationships. So always hats off to him, or just thank you.
He works pretty hard. That is true.
He does work hard. He's smart, though. He knows what he's doing. I mean, again, bringing on people or being involved with people that know more than you is always nice. We have the sports, and we have the Kansas City Mavericks, and we also have the Topeka Pilots, mm-hmm. which is the North American Hockey League. That's what they would call in Canada major junior. We call it junior hockey here. These are kids that come from all over the country. They're living the dream to play Division I or Division III hockey. We have two players this year who are pledged to go to Ferris State.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Division I scholarships. We're not going to have college hockey in this market. So this is the next best thing. These are kids that, yeah, you know, think of it as junior college. Some of them are up to 20 years old, and they just want to get that next step, and this is the way to do it. So the North American Hockey League is a Tier 2 league. There's a Tier 1 league called USHL. So that's part of our portfolio. And then we have the foundation where we do very directed gifts for very specific things. And it can be anything from, again, we talked about this, Catholic education, things like that, to homelessness through Catholic charities or things like that, you know, addressing sort of those gut level human needs, the sort of the dignity of the human person. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're unabashedly, we're pro-life. We want to help those moms who want to have their kids find a safe way to do it and get that follow through going. So we support some things in a very quiet way to sort of help that ministry, if you will. And I mean, we do other things that, you know, it might be buying a table at this charity thing or things like that, but you know, anything we can to help the dignity of the human person and uplift people. That's the goal.
Tell us about the influence that your wife Rita's had and your father of seven kids.
Well, we're a blended family, so okay. We have nine kids between
nine kids.
Us
wow.
And eight grandkids, and we're all proud of them. The youngest is 22, the oldest is 35, and they all are doing different things. Three of the girls are moms and married moms and all that, and one son's at a PhD candidate at Johns Hopkins. One daughter works for Wahoo Films in Bend, Oregon. One son is working for XPO Logistics in Denver, Colorado. One son is local, and he's willing to do about any job you tell him to do. He's not afraid to work for like UPS and things like that, so that's great for him. We have one son, John, 24, who's getting a double degree, and then the youngest is Liz in Dallas, and she's working in the school system there to help kids and families. So as far as Rita, boy, she's my common sense.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of common sense. She's very practical. I think if you've been married or you are currently married, our wives have a way of sort of bringing us back to reality. Drop your dreams sometimes. And it's okay to dream, but it's also to say, hey, look, this needs to be taken care of right now. It's in front of us and we need to deal with it. And I think she's a balancing act for me because I'm a little bit like my dad. I'm not maybe as entrepreneurial, but I'm a dreamer sometimes, a fiddler. You know, a little bit too creative, and Rita's down to earth and practical. She is the best Chiefs fan on the planet. I'm not kidding you. She's very polite when we host people. She says, I'm happy to host them. I'll tell you this, I'll be friendly now, but once the game starts, do not disturb me. She's got the binoculars, and she wants to know the details. So she's a great sports fan.
We need a lot more dreamers in this community. I think it's a good thing that you're a dreamer.
Stephen Garrett let me know. He's the announcer for the Mavericks.
Yes.
He's been the announcer for hockey for forever in Kansas City. I think 35 years.
Yeah, he's called
pretty
a
much
lot.
Everybody.
Yeah.
He let me know that your wedding anniversary is this week, 15th, so happy anniversary.
It is. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to go out to California tomorrow for a couple of days, and I've been asked to speak at a conference that deals with family businesses.
Sure.
I'm going to do that tomorrow evening, and then Thursdays is ours for our anniversary.
That's a good segue right there, family businesses. So what are you going to talk about? Like, we'd like to know that because a lot of people are listening thinking to themselves, should I work with my wife? Should I work with my brother? Should I work with my sister? How does this work?
Sometimes you don't have a choice. Like I said earlier, things fall into your lap. This is about really generations in families and how, you know, they call it Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3. I'm still figuring out, okay, I'm Gen 3. My kids are Gen 4. But the generations, for example, when my dad passed in 2006, there were some decisions that were being made up to that time on how things were going to work. Mm-hmm. But then he died, and there were certain things that were left undone. And so, you know, you have to deal with that. You have to sort of unravel it and deal with it. And so that's what all these – there's a lot of wealth in our country that's changing hands from generations 2 to 3, let's call it 2 to 3, from the baby boomers, which is where I'm at, mm-hmm. down to our generation where my kids are, 22 to 35. How do we get it to them, and how do we empower them? And the main term I use is, how do we help them earn success? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to hand you success, but how do we position them? It's not a feel good about yourself either. Earn success means you're adding value to something and you want to pass it on and you want to develop something. And so this notion of earned success is something that's really in my mind about talking about a lot, is that it's one thing to come from a wealthy family, and we need to acknowledge that we are because that's our reality. But it's another thing to say, well, where will this kid fit in? Because I don't have kids that want to be football scouts or general managers in football or football coaches. They didn't go that path. But so how do we deal with the gifts that we have, the wealth that we have, and get it to them? But more importantly, what do they want to do for their working lives? Because you want to earn your success. Nobody likes stuff just handed to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you have to be empowered. You have to have a passion and a burning desire to go and achieve something.
Absolutely.
As we talk about wealth, what's the most impactful decision that you've made regarding wealth in a couple of words?
I think for us is we had 3 soccer properties in the MLS, and we've gotten it down to where we own 1 as a family. And I think that was, my dad was reluctant to do that, but we did it and we got it done, and it's made a big difference in our whole portfolio.
That's awesome.
Lamar Hunt Jr., thanks for coming on the show today. Congrats on all your success. You've motivated me to dream a little more and to work a little harder on the show today, so I appreciate it. Brian Sarf,
great to visit with you.
Great to have you on, and as always, each and every month, great show today.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to the Grill Nation show. We'll see you again next week. Have a good one.